87. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 87 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is the Miller's Edge with Christian Miller, two-time national champion and team captain for the Alabama Crimson Tide and former Carolina Panther, and his father, Corey Miller, the pastor of pain, a 9-year NFL veteran with the New York Giants and University of South Carolina Hall of Famer. This is the Miller's Edge.
Florida State here, first reps. We obviously have done a lot of homework and different meeting rooms and things like that. Might have snuck some peeks on film, but as far as coordinated efforts in practice, today was where we started that. So both sides of the ball, all phases of the game. So that was good. And then just update, because I guess I never really have had a chance to address you guys. Jam, you know, with his injury, a little more significant than what I thought when I was there for the press conference with you guys last. Found out more information afterwards. So he'll be out. You know, we'll go week by week, but he'll be out for, you know, first game for sure, and we'll play it from there. So
have you picked a backup quarterback yet?
Yeah, we won't really get into that as far as who's the second. These guys are going to keep competing, and that's for every position. So right now, you know, there's balance between in some things that we do, the reps, but there's certainly coordination on who's getting those reps as well. Just looking for someone to separate themselves. That's really the situation, you know, and they feel like Jam was certainly at a higher level and need these guys. And, you know, I know they're hungry and, you know, they want to do it. Now they just got to show us. And, you know, it's not just one area. It's all phases. It's running the ball. It's pass protection. It's just all of those things combined. So, again, each guy's got some tools, got some things that they can do, but need them to stand out, because there's kind of a log jam there, and each of them have their strengths, and they all can fit into the offense in some form or fashion.
Just an update on Jaden Robertson, maybe what
the team's looking like. Yeah, he isn't taking any team reps or anything right now. Still making that progress through that protocol that we're on with his injury.
Any update on James?
Yeah, he's practicing. James Braxton. Yeah. Yep.
What are your early impressions of Florida State? How tough is it to game plan for a team with so much new across the board personnel and coaching?
Yeah, you walk in from my shoes, you walk into the offense and defense and special teams, especially offense and defense, and, you know, you see a lot of different film being shown for different reasons, right? Personnel, scheme, what they were last year, and then the same thing on offense. And, you know, more probably scheme and what they were a year ago as far as their talent returning. So there is a lot, you know, but you got to make sure you're not chasing ghosts and you're trying to keep things simple for us, and we can do what we do, and we have enough stuff that we see from each side of the ball, you know, that you can – you know, we see a lot of variations of our offense. We see a lot of variations, you know, from defense, our defense. But there are certainly some things that we expect that are different than what we do on offense and defense, whether it's the style of quarterback that they have or what they do defensively, you know, as a system. There certainly are some differences. So we gotta be ready for anything and everything.
How would you describe the mix between young guys and veterans that we're going to see on the special team units?
You know, last year, I think we were at the top. I know we were at the top of the conference with the number of freshmen that were out there on those units. And I would expect that, you know, hopefully it's not at the same rep count at the end of the year. But I would say that we have a lot of confidence in those guys. I think we have some really – really strong athletic kids that can go out there and make plays even as freshmen. You know, that's not just offense and defense, but in special teams, as you're asking. And so, you know, they've been taking all the reps as part of our circuits and work, drill work that we're trying to do to lay the foundation. And now we get into scheme. And so we start laying out our depth chart and our starting point. And there certainly are a lot of young guys, whether they're freshmen or redshirt freshmen or true sophomores. There's a lot of guys that would be out there, but they should be able to go out there and do the job. And we believe, though, that you still will put your best players on the field. But you know, there's got to be a mix and there's got to be a balance. And a lot of those guys can go out there and make plays just like they did a year ago.
Is the logic there to keep wear and tear off the veterans at all?
No, we need to go out and the special teams, you know, the ball gets kicked and field position on special teams. You know, it's critical. You know, when you look at turnovers, explosive plays, special teams, I mean, fourth down stops would be in there. Those are chunk yardage plays and the ball getting kicked 40 plus yards every time, whether it's kicks, punts, that field position and how it can really dictate and the hidden yardage that comes into play there, that's important. So we're not going to take it lightly. Like Coach Nunez does an awesome job working with what he's got and fitting speed on the field where he needs speed and body types. And sometimes he has a position where he has a great pick of the litter. And there's a couple of positions still where, you know, certain guys, we need certain guys and they might be upperclassmen. Places we don't have upperclassmen, the younger guys got a chance to step up.
Has anybody separated themselves?
Yeah, I think Blake is since the first scrimmage, Blake's had really a good, what is that, week and a half. And, you know, he's really to the point where he was at statistically and kind of what we thought he would be before he transferred, you know. And so he transfers here and you know, I think spring kind of feeling it out, gets in our weight program and we push our specialists in the weight program, and sometimes that forces you to go down before you go up. And he's definitely on an upward trajectory. And so the first scrimmage, I was impressed getting in the stadium. I'm like, okay, he can sustain this. And he certainly has statistically, and you can even see it visually. Just if you're out there watching, you can see the improvement that's happened over the last 2 weeks.
How's Connor responded this week?
Yeah, yesterday was his best day probably in a week and a half. And again, here in the practice field, done a nice job. And so we got to make sure that just translates over to, you know, our own stadium, and we'll keep working on that. But he had a really good day yesterday. Got back to where I feel like he was hitting his, and it was going where he wanted, and had good distance. You know, we challenged him with a distance kick that we actually probably thought he wouldn't make the uprights, and he was halfway up the uprights on it. So did a nice job there.
After a full camp, spring and out fall, how comfortable you and Galen Bachway?
Yeah, he fits into the mix with some other guys. I mean, I think that room, there's some guys at the top, and then there's another pack of guys that are going to be important to us throughout the entire year. And they might be in certain packages, and Bach would be certainly one of those guys that, you know, is just going to keep fighting, keep scrapping. He's doing the things he needs to do every day to just keep focusing on him and being better. And that's what I appreciate about him. And, you know, he's finding his ways into the return game. He did a nice job with that last year and carving out a role there. And you know, he and the other guys keep carving out their roles. And the more opportunities they get, I think they'll take advantage of. But, you know, you kind of got your guys kind of at the top that are your main starters. And then you kind of got the next group all, you know, bite, scratching and clawing to get some playing time there. Yeah, that's a little bit of a rotational piece right now. You know, Robbie Boots is a big body guy, obviously, and did it for a lot of years. You know, it's a position that, you know, you think about Burnup and you think about all these other specialists that are now gone, but that guy was rock solid, not just last year, but the year before. And so there's a rotation. We got the body types, we got the people, and we got the guys that really want to do it and feel confident. So, you know, we'll go on. I don't want to get into the details on who that might be at this point yet.
How do you talk to Ty about when and how to use Seth Levison's
role? He's got to find out just ways to move the chains. And, you know, and on our offense, first and foremost, the priority is always on keeping our quarterback, you know, we say upright, you know, keep him up, Keep them healthy. I mean, you know, we're personnel oriented, but we're really quarterback driven. And, you know, so for him to keep the ball moving gives him more opportunities to go make the next play. A lot of our play calls have something where there's a shot down the field, and for him to get a new set of downs gives him more opportunities when the right coverage presents itself. That shot could exist. But for him, it's about moving the chains. And so if that means using his feet. That's certainly what he needs to do. And that's what he's done. I think he's done a really good job at that balance. So go get a first down. We're never going to fault you for that. There's going to be an ooh and ah when, you know, you see a guy downfield that you wish you'd have thrown it to. That happens with every quarterback. But, you know, be aggressive. But obviously he's got to take care of himself too.
I was in the captain today. What have you thought about the way he's been vocal?
Mm-hmm.
Even the specific.
Yeah, he has. You know, and he was vocal even before he was named the starter. And so, you know, I appreciate that about him. And I think, again, that room did a great job of not making that one guy or the other feel like they could step up and say things. And, you know, Ty continued to do that. He's invested a lot of time into this program. It means a lot to him. And now when he's been the quarterback, named the quarterback, he's taken it another level and just put himself out there front and center. And it's not something that's just like, okay, I got to do this. It's he wants to do it. He feels natural in that position. I'm certainly proud of him. And, you know, I think, you know, the team voting him a captain certainly represents how they feel about him as well. Tim Keenan. Yeah, Tim Keenan, first of all, just again, the guy who's been here so long and just heart and soul type of guy in the program. Just a big brother to the younger guys. I know they feel like they can go to him and he's gonna shoot them straight. And then just the work ethic and the journey he's been on. You know, I didn't really probably understand his journey until we got into the year last year and kind of understanding where he started out and how far he's come along and what he's doing for us, now. You know, it's really cool to see. And so it's important to him. You could just hear I had each guy address the team just for a couple seconds. And, you know, he don't take it for granted. And he appreciates that. And then Parker, man, I'll tell you what, I really pretty much could have guessed that he would have been a captain, just the way he's been as a leader. And it starts with his leading by example, but it's really cool seeing a guy, seeing Parker in particular step up vocally, you know, and see his growth, because I've had a chance to see it now going on these 4 years. And so, it means a lot to me just knowing our journey together, that he's continued to just keep fighting, keep believing, and man, the guys just really respect when he says something, it comes from here, and you know, he lives it every single day. And so it's easy for him to speak up because it's not something that's hypocritical, and, they all listen. So, I'm proud of him for sure.
A position group that's made the most strides, you know, of
any
season, you know,
basically
that you're
typing of. Mm-hmm. A position group that's made the most strides. I like what our linebacking core, I mean, they should be because we got some veterans that are back, but I think the addition of Nakai and you not knowing, and then Deontay and how he's come back from everything. And I think JJ has taken those next steps. I can't say that, but I'm proud of that group and I'm excited about what that group can do for us on the football field. You know, whether they're the ones that's made the greatest strides, I don't know. But they're, you know, the D line, I think, has done some good things. I want to see them, you know, prove it on the football field. I just really like the way that linebacker group, kind of runs the show. And I know a lot's been talked about with the defensive backs. And, you know, I think consistently there's been just a good way about our offensive line, how they've gone about it each and every day. There's really no highs and lows. They're just about the work. I like their mindset, so again, a lot of position groups that have done what you're supposed to do in camp, and that's continue to progress, continue to get better and come together. So
So there you have it. That was head coach Kalen DeBoer speaking to the media yesterday post practice. And obviously we will talk about it. We'll break it down and a lot of other things that we've got to talk about. Right, Chase? There's a lot that's been going on regarding the SEC. We'll talk about that when we come back as well. But first, we need to break down what head coach Kalen DeBoer said on this free for all Friday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. Don't go anywhere. We come back
to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy, hims.com/joy.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Free-for-all Friday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts, home of those premium art supports designed to eliminate and alleviate all types of pain, foot pain, knee pain, back pain, hip pain, you name it, they will take care of it. It's a simple process. Just take these art supports, put them in your shoes, and get on with your life, and you'll be feeling better than ever. If you don't believe me, just go check them out. Give them a try. Midtown Village is where you can find them here in Tuscaloosa. Or you can always go to their website, goodfeet.com, where you can schedule an appointment and find the nearest location to you. Again, that is the Good Feet Store, improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time. All right. So we just heard from head coach Kalen DeBoer. He spoke to the media yesterday. I was asking the chat during the timeout. It seemed like, man, either the heat's kind of getting to him a little bit. Maybe practice wasn't, you know, up to standard. Or I don't know. He didn't have that same juice or the same kind of, I guess, positive energy yesterday, I should say, which is fine, man. Everybody has it. But I didn't know if I was the only one thinking that. But I was like, man, coach, he's a little tired, a little stressed out. But hey, man, it's part of it, man. And especially when you're, you know, a little, what, a day shy of a week away from week one. I mean, I've been seeing a lot of, you know, people talking. And look, man, Alabama's got a lot of expectations. And Alabama's going to have, you know, high expectations year in and year out, right? Nothing new, right? But I'll be honest. I mean, you look at year number two, there's a lot of eyes on Coach DeBoer and this Alabama football team. A lot of people are really high on Alabama, at least now they are. In the last couple of weeks, we've really seen that number go up. We'll talk a little bit about, you know, a couple of people even having Alabama as their favorite to win the national championship. But again, what does that do? It puts more pressure on. So, you know, it's part of the job. And they've gone through a long training camp. It's not just hard on the players. It's hard on the coaches, too. They got a heavy load. It might not be as physically taxing, but mentally, just know, I mean, they're going through a lot too. So coach, the training camp might have caught up with Coach DeBoer a little bit, man. He he definitely seemed a little tired in the interview, but we'll break down a couple of things that he said that stood out real quick. I want to throw a couple of things out there too, since we went straight to the interview. Big news came yesterday in regards to the conference. Changes will be made in terms of the scheduling. SEC will now look to have all teams playing a 9-game schedule up from the 8, which is a big deal, right? A lot of people have been talking about that. Big Ten has been playing 9, and obviously that's been a big thing. You know, they're playing 9 conference games. We're only playing 8, even though I'd argue that we always, at least at Alabama, scheduled a pretty challenging out-of-conference game. But regardless, SEC officially will implement the 9-game schedule. We'll continue with the single standings, non-divisional structure, meaning they're not going back to the East and West. They're just going to stick with what they're doing now. Each school will play 3 annual opponents focused on maintaining many traditional rivalries. We'll talk about what that could look like for Alabama. I want you guys to drop your 3 that you think it's going to be. And I think we probably can all guess it. But let me know in the YouTube chat, at message, call in 205-342-9904. It's one of the things I'm curious about. Who do you want to be those 3 permanent opponents for Alabama, or who do you think that those 3 permanent opponents will be? Let me know. Each team's remaining 6 games will rotate among the remaining conference schools. Again, that was one of the things that I really liked about the new non-divisional structure, getting to play those teams that you typically didn't get to play, right? I never really got to play South Carolina. Matter of fact, I never got to play South Carolina, which is where I'm from. That would have been really cool for me. Now, these guys will have an opportunity to play those other schools like they've been able to last year or two, since they did change from the East and West structure. And then each team will face every other SEC program at least once every 2 years and every opponent home and away in 4 years. So maintaining that, you know, that ability to mix things up, get teams to play each other all across the board, no matter if it's East, West, all that's gone, keeping that the same, because that's already been the case. But the biggest thing is just implementing that 9-game structure, which is which I think is good, especially when it comes to the whole the playoff thing. That's a big deal, right? Because when you look at choosing teams for the playoffs, right, that was one of the arguments. Obviously, SEC already has a lot of stiff competition. Is it right, you know, to judge them accordingly? Because they weren't playing 8 games. Now they're playing 9 games. There's no more excuse there, right? And that's why this was a big deal with that. In terms of, and we're going to dive back into that here in a second. I just wanted to at least throw that out there early on in the show. That way you guys can think about it. And if you got something you want to add to it, let me know. In terms of what Coach DeBoer said, a couple things stood out. His response regarding the running backs, I'm not going to lie to you, was an interesting one, but it kind of was what I was thinking. I mean, when you looked at this fall camp, I mean, Jam really just stood out amongst everybody else, right? It was Jam, and then the rest of the guys kind of competing for that second guy in line. And he basically flat out said that in his response. He said, I mean, look, you know, Jam was here and, you know, these other guys, and now I'm looking for one of these guys to step up. So that's a challenge. That's a challenge from him to his guys. That's him basically saying, I need somebody to step up. And it's not just, okay, can you run the – they need somebody that can run the football, pass, protect, do it. They need a true three-down back, because that's what Jam was. And I think these guys have the potential of being three-down backs, at least a couple of them for sure. But they have to go out there and prove it. And not just once, not one practice, not every other practice. It has to be shown with consistency. And if you're one of those guys in that room, man, you got to step up. Now is your opportunity. The head guy's out for a few games at least. It sounds like it won't be, maybe it could be around the Georgia time, could be sooner. He said that they will be addressing it as, you know, like a week-to-week type deal. Jam actually spoke personally to some people, I believe, when he was doing an event on campus and said it was, you know, collarbone dislocation, and I don't think they elected to do surgery, but they're going to take it week by week, see how he's doing. But anyway, that definitely stood out. He mentioned being impressed with the linebacker unit, those guys kind of stepping up, and I think that is something. I mean, not many people were really talking about it, because I think you just see Justin Jefferson and Deontay Lawson coming back, and then you bring in Hill Green. But you got to remember, you got to have depth, and you just really got a lot of young guys that haven't really played behind those guys. And you know, to hear him talk about that group and to compliment them, I thought that was big. And then another thing that stood out is him talking about the backup quarterback situation. Kind of interesting answer. That was one of the first questions he got. Obviously, he didn't want to list a guy, and that's why I think when someone asked me about it, I said I thought it would probably be a or situation. I think they know in their mind who their second guy in would be, but at the same time, they don't want to sit there and say, oh, this guy's number two quarterback. They don't probably don't want to step on any toes, maybe a little bit. And also they want those guys to keep competing, like you mentioned, which is important, right? So I think that's what's going to happen. And I think it'll just let it play itself out. But I'm sure at some point they will have a little bit better idea of kind of how that exactly will look. That being said, let's go ahead and hit this timeout, because I don't want to get off of schedule. What we'll do is, when we come back, we already got some folks lined up on the phone lines, 205-342-9904. If you guys want to discuss what Coach DeBoer talked about, we'll do that. And we definitely got to keep talking about the new 9-game schedule right here on the Miller's Edge Tide, 100.9, 1230.
Call 800-8000 or visit meswins.com. I've got this.
No representations made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
365, 24/7. You'll find road and utility crews, tow trucks, law enforcement, and first responders working along Alabama's roadway.
We're making improvements and helping our communities stay connected.
We're working hard to make sure you're safe on the road. Now we need your help to make sure we're safe too.
Alabama's move over law requires you to move over a lane when you see flashing lights on the roadside. And if you can't safely move over, please slow down.
Visit drivesafealabama.org, brought to you by the Alabama Department of Transportation, Alabama Broadcasters Association, and this state.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Alabama Army National Guard, aired by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the Alabama Department of Labor, ABA, and the station. The Alabama Department of Labor is an equal opportunity employer program. Auxiliary aids and services available upon request to individuals with disabilities. Dial 711 for TTY accessibility.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611. 9611.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Free-for-all Friday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts, man. Sorry, I just had to take a quick call during our break right there, but really good stuff, and I don't know how this is even important right now, but any former players, NFL players that might be listening, man, make sure you guys take advantage of all the benefits that they do offer. I was speaking with the Trust, which is similar to like the NFLPA. And I didn't even realize, man, there's so many tools and resources that they have to offer. And, man, it's a lot of guys. I don't even think you really know about this. But anyway, any former NFL players that might be listening, man, make sure you reach out to the Trust and sign up for it because, I mean, there's so many things out there for us former players. All right, anyway, back to the show. Let's see. We can go ahead and roll with the phone calls that we got. 205-342-9904. We got Tommy up first. Then we got KJ after him. Tommy, welcome in.
Hey, Preston, how are you tonight?
Man, I'm great, Tommy. How are you?
All right, can't complain. Well, I knew they was going to go to the nine-game schedule, but I'm like Nick Saban 2-3 years ago, maybe five. The SEC should have gone to a 10-game SEC schedule. I'm going to tell you why. In the old days, Pat Dye fussed about he had to play Florida, Georgia, and Alabama end of the season every year and didn't get no break. Well, one year you're going to be happy. You'll have all your tough games at home. But the next year you might have a good team and you got to go to Baton Rouge, Tuscaloosa, and Knoxville, Gainesville. You're not going to come unscathed every year going down there. And two, I think it would help the local cities because Tuscaloosa, Oxford, Thorntonville, and other small little towns that got SEC schools, the monetary financial help for five home SEC games will be enormous. It'll be like $15 to $20 million a week in your economy, and you do that five times a year, you get $20 million. That's $100 million.
Right.
I mean, that's at hotels buying Alabama stuff and Tennessee stuff. It helps.
Yeah, it does.
No, and people say, well, you can't, nobody can go undefeated at a 10 games SEC schedule. Well, maybe not, but we did one year, 2020. We played the whole SEC schedule.
We did, and I think that just goes to show you how talented that 2020 team really was. That's why when people really go, oh man, Ty's gonna be Mac Jones, I'm like, man, again, like that was a very, very impressive season that year. But anyway, no, when you look at it, I think there's a number of things that you pull away from this. Number one, people from the outside looking in, I mean, they've had their opinions and their thoughts for forever about this, right? Because you look at it, I mean, Big Ten, Big 12, I can't remember if the ACC, I thought the ACC might have played 9, but I think Todd mentioned 8, but I want to say they played 9. Anyway, a lot of other conferences are already playing 9, but you know, people always point the finger at us playing 8, but I don't think they truly understand. Like, yes, the Big Ten in recent years, the past few years has, you know, started to be a better conference, and I'm not, look, I get they've been a good conference, but you get what I'm saying, you catch my drift. Like, the SEC definitely, for a while, was here compared to everybody else. Yes, Big Ten in recent years has kind of caught up, and they've gotten, you know, a decent amount of good teams. I still, until you play in the SEC, I mean, ask Coach DeBoer. He played his first year last year. It's not even close to like all these, like maybe Big Ten if you got a certain schedule where you've got the top teams on your schedule. But from top to bottom, man, the problem is people, this is where they get things wrong. They look at the SEC and from the outside looking in, and they look at the team schedules, right? So they'll see like an Auburn team or a Florida team that's 500 or so, and they just immediately think they're trash, but they don't understand. You know, a lot of those losses were because we're playing each other, and then they'll see a bad performance in a bowl game. And half the time, especially nowadays, these guys could care less about playing these bowl games, but it couldn't be anything further from the truth. I mean, personally, from personal experience, playing in the SEC, it didn't matter if we were playing a Mississippi State or an Arkansas team that had a terrible record, man. Like, they were a much better football team than 80% of the other teams out there in all these other conferences. And so now people aren't going to have anything to say. All those haters that were talking about the SEC only playing 8 games, now we're playing 9. There's nothing to say. Like you mentioned, revenue-wise, I mean, obviously, it's good for the fans. People want more of these games. I mean, you just look at it now, you're replacing probably, Western Carolina with, Kentucky or a... who's somebody else that we kind of just don't really play a whole bunch. I don't know. Could be anybody. Just throw another team out there. But I think it's better for the fans, right? Makes it more competitive. Get an extra game that's more of a worth-watching game. And let's just face it, like, playing the Western Carolinas and playing the Kent States, I mean, it's good opportunities for people that don't get to typically attend games. It's good to get players experience that don't typically get to play, but outside of that, I mean, no one's really tuning in to. I mean, people tune in to watch Bama play. Then by the second half, they're turning the TV to a different game. So I mean, look, I think it's good. I think we just needed to go ahead and do it. I did understand why coaches were a little hesitant on jumping to it, because they know. I mean, it makes it a little bit more challenging to get to, you know, the college football playoffs. It makes it a little bit more challenging to make a bowl game, because we know the difficulties of playing in this conference. But at the end of the day, man, I think it's just something we had to do. And I think the fact that they finally expanded the playoffs and they're continuing talking about expanding the playoffs and potentially even giving, you know, automatic bids, I think that was really the biggest reason why we needed to go ahead and make the 9-game thing a thing. Because if they're going to compensate on their end, we got to do our part. Now, I guess the waiting game comes now, though, Tommy, because I think there is still a little bit of curiosity on how exactly – they plan on, you know, I think they came out and they officially said, look, man, we're going to value the, you know, like the actual like games being played, you know, the level of competition. So that should lean in our favor. So allegedly the committee is going to take that into consideration. I guess we'll have to wait and see, but I know they did come out and at least mention that. I think that came out like right before they officially announced that we were going to adopt the, 9-game thing, because I think the playoff committee announced basically, matter of fact, I think this is it right here, in preparation for the upcoming season, following the first year, the 12-team playoffs. culmination of 6 months, blah, blah, blah. I think they reviewed their policies and they came up with some changes for the tools that the selection committee is going to use to assess strength of schedule and how teams perform against their schedule. Current schedule strength metric has been adjusted to apply greater weight to games against strong opponents, which is why this 9-game schedule should be evened out with this. An additional metric, record strength, has been added to the selection committee's analysis to go beyond a team's schedule strength to assess how a team performed against that schedule. This metric rewards teams defeating high-quality opponents while minimizing the penalty for losing to such a team. So basically what they're saying is they're now going to pay more attention into, at least with this new metric, reward teams for playing tougher competition and not penalize them as harshly for losing to these better football teams, which I think should have been a no-brainer in the first place. You never should have been penalized for playing a tough opponent, and you always should have been rewarded for beating a tough opponent. But I think sometimes they got caught in the decision of, hey, I mean, you got SMU who's undefeated or only lost one game, even though they haven't played anybody. We want to respect the record, but at the same time, they're not playing anybody. So I don't know why that was even so difficult to come to, but sounds like they did that. And then it also says procedural changes for this year included update to the recusal policy to establish two separate distinctions, a full recusal consistent with the previous policy and a partial recusal, which allows selection committee members to remain in the room for the discussion of teams they are partially recused from, but continue to prevent them from voting during those rounds. And the membership panel will also review the movement of idle teams, and selection committee reaffirmed that movement in the final week should be evidence-based and did not recommend creating a formal policy prohibiting such movement. So anyway, those are some of the updates to the process. And sorry, Tom, I know that was a very long-winded way, but what I'm getting at is, yes, we're moving to the 9-game schedule, but the good news is we shouldn't be penalized anymore for playing tougher competition, which I think is what that was the one security that these coaches wanted in the SEC, and they got it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm going to quote your father for a minute. I'm going to give you an amen since he's the pastor. Hey, but yeah, I like the other little thing they put in, that you got to play somebody from the ACC or the Big Ten. So I'm going to the next 3 years, or Notre Dame, but hey, I'm going to play, I think, Notre Dame, Ohio State in the next 6 years. So, and we play Florida State this year and next year, home and home. So, I mean, and we play B-12 team with two of them. Oklahoma State is on the schedule in West Virginia. So we are meeting the criteria. I mean, it's like Indiana. I mean, I hate to say this word, you might yell me, but they got another whiskey schedule this year. So they don't play Michigan, Ohio State on the regular schedule. They'll meet them in the Big Ten championship game one. And you know what, Kirsten? They made jokes about us when we scored the SEC championship game. Well, the SEC just cut their own throat. They'll never have a national championship. The first thing came out of these so-called expert mouth is the SEC going to cut each other's throat. Well, I remember the very first game, one and all with 13-0. Nothing was that theory out of the water. So, yeah. I mean,
man, you're a good football team. You're a good football team, man. That's why Coach Saban used to always say, man, it's not about what they do. It's about what we do. Doesn't mean it's not going to be a challenge. But at the end of the day, man, you know, if you got faith in your guys, you go out, you attack the process, you show up to play, no matter who it is, what jersey it is, what day it is, man, you should be all right. Now, obviously, we had a lot of good football players to be able to do that. But you get my point, man. Can't run from it, man. You got to run into it. And I think that's what we're doing with this new schedule change. But, hey, I like it, man. I'm for it, man. Better football games. I'm never going to complain about that. I think it's a win for the fans for sure.
Yeah, and for the local cities. I mean, like I said, put the list of Almond and I can't say, for example, Thornville, Oxford, a small fellow in town. I'm going to tell you it's a bigger load, but you know, so, well, I'm going to let you go. You have a great weekend. Say hi to your dad for me.
Yes, sir. Will do. He was on here briefly, man. He was on here earlier in the show, but looked like he was having he was on the phone at first while we were playing the interview. But then he like he had some something's going on with his mic, so I think he'll hop back on here in a little bit. But yeah, I'll definitely tell him you said hello, man. But Tom, you have a great weekend, brother.
Well, he don't block me, so I know that. But you know, it's okay.
That's not true. No, that's not true. Oh, he loves man. You, Tom. We'll see you, brother. Weekend. Yes, sir, you too. Good deal. All right, we got to hit a timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling on this free-for-all Friday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. And don't forget, since it's Friday, man, you know the drill. Fridays, we will be live at 1225 doing the show. Home game weekends, man. Make sure you come check us out doing the show. Good food, great drinks, man. Tipsy Elephant is a big one. They got burgers, pizza, wings, you name it. TVs throughout, over 30 of them that you can watch everything on. Plus, you can always go back and watch the game there, other football games there. Great venue, man. Again, that's 1225 Fridays of home game weekends where we will be doing the show live. Come hang out with me. My dad might be down here every now and then, and we have a good time, man. We did last year there, and it was phenomenal, man. Trust me, you guys don't want to miss this. So, again, 1225 where food, fun, and drinks collide. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Go inside the Alabama Crimson Tide with the Gary Harris Show.
Coming up Monday morning at 9 a.m. on the Gary Harris Show, it's game week for the Alabama Crimson Tide. We're going to dive headfirst into Alabama and SEC football coverage for week one. Rodney Orr from TiderInsider.com will join me. Also, we'll recap the Tour Championship and look ahead to the Ryder Cup with Casey Smith on golf, your phone calls, and more. That's the Gary Harris Show, Monday morning at 9 a.m.
Catch the Gary Harris Show Monday through Friday, 9 to 11 a.m. on Tide 100.9 and Tide100.9.com.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world. We're here for the rookies and the dreamers trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping
more at AaronLewisMusic.com.
I'm American.
Stateliners, American as it gets tour.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Alabama Army National Guard, aired by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Hardy Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Hardy Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation...
SD on this plan. Home internet pricing after $20 a monthly bill credit plus $5 per line without autopay. Debit or bank account required. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partially sunny this afternoon. The chance of a shower or storm in a few spots through the evening hours. The high today, 88. The low tonight, 71. Tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds with scattered showers and thunderstorms by afternoon. The high, 87. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 88 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We only got like, 2 minutes before we hit this top hour break. So KJ, hold, please hold, man. Don't, like I said, it's been a while. I want to hear what you got to say, man. Don't do me like that. Don't drop. I promise, because I want to just get to this top hour break in 1 minute, and then when we come back, man, I'll give you the floor is yours. You got the whole segment. In the meantime, in that minute, a couple other little things. Little news and notes. Alabama did officially announce their four captains, which we didn't announce on the show. And I definitely want to take a minute to congratulate those guys because If you guys aren't aware, I was voted captain my senior year here at Alabama in 2018. And honestly, that's one of the biggest accomplishments and accolades that I've ever received in my life, man. It's something about when you are voted by your peers to lead them and to be a captain, right? That means a great deal. And for me, the fact that it came here at the University of Alabama with everything that, you know, the rich history here, right? All the great players that played here even before us, but even, you know, all the great ones I played with, honestly, one of the biggest honors of my life. So I want to congratulate these guys and give them a shout out again. The four permanent captains for this season, the 2025 season, are Ty Simpson, your starting quarterback, Deontay Lawson, who is a two-time captain now, shout out to him, Tim Keenan, defensive lineman, and Parker Brailsford. Now, I know we had this conversation like a month or two ago, and we were kind of guessing who might those guys be. I think, or not even a month ago, I think it was around like SEC Media Day time. And I want to say, I think we guessed, man, I don't even remember. I'm not going to try to remember right now, but I think it was close. But I think I went Proctor / Brailsford. I know I did Lawson. I couldn't remember if I said LT or Tim. Who knows? But anyway, those are your four captains, man, for the 2025 year. And I think it's a great group, man. Ty is a great leader, very passionate. We all know, you know, he's got that fire now. I've seen it at the scrimmage. You heard it from Caden Proctor. Great decision on electing him as captain. Tim Keenan, man, Alabama through and through. You know, you love that passion that he brings. Deontay Lawson, man of wisdom. You know, same deal with him. But then obviously, Brailsford, man, a really smart guy, and said he's become more vocal. At least that's what Kalen DeBoer said. So great group of guys, and just want to congratulate them. All right, we got to hit this top of the hour break. When we come back, we go back to the phone lines. We got KJ up next, and we'll keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The Dodgers are still two games up on the Padres in the NL West standings. LA lost at Colorado, giving up a run in the bottom of the ninth. 4-3 for the Rockies, who've won 6 of 7. And then the Padres were beaten 4-3 at home by San Francisco. San Diego had a home run overturned early in the game due to fan interference. Cincinnati beat the Angels 4-1 in Anaheim. The Reds are now just one game out of the last NL wild card behind the Mets. Baltimore won 6-3 at Boston. Winning pitcher Trevor Rogers is 6-2, ERA 1.41 for the Orioles. Pittsburgh down Toronto 5-2. Slugger for the Blue Jays, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. left with hamstring tightness. Philadelphia got two home runs from Bryce Harper and beat Seattle 12-7. Detroit shut out Houston 10-0. Milwaukee 7-0 over the Cubs. Game 2 of the Twin Bill was rained out. And in an NFL exhibition, Cincinnati won 31-17 at Washington.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Alabama Army National Guard, aired by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor's social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the Alabama Department of Labor, ABA, and the station. The Alabama Department of Labor is an equal opportunity employer program. Auxiliary aids and services available upon request to individuals with disabilities. Dial 711 for TTY accessibility.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rentals. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. You know what I just noticed, Chase? It's funny. When it hits 12, man, like, we normally get, like, a bump in the number of people that hop on the stream. I almost wondered if they think we're still on the 12 to 2 time. But, again, we are alive every day, 11 to 1 every day, Tide 100.9. Obviously, we are a radio show. I can't speak, man, first and foremost, but we like streaming the content here as well. All right, let's go back to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We got KJ, who, man, KJ, I thought you fell off the face of the earth, man. Where you been at?
Went to New York. I kind of did. I went to New York. What's going on?
You went to New York? Like, wait, hold on. You moved to New York? You're visiting New York?
No. I was there for several months.
Dang.
So, definitely did.
Big time KJ, man. Were you in, like, the city? Or I said big time KJ.
I was in, what do you call, like, the Dominique? I was in literally in a hotel, the Dominique Hotel.
Dang.
It used to be the Trump Soho. They changed it to the Dominique Hotel.
So, wow. Oh, you're big time. Yeah, big money chilling. KJ, man. You don't listen to the show no more.
Bro, New York lifestyle is a little bit different. You can't just.
You're embarrassed to listen to our radio show, our poor little old radio show on Tide 100.9 and our YouTube stream. You're too embarrassed to tune in while you're up in New York being a big shot.
I got one rule with Tide while I'm there, so hey. It's a little bit different out there, man. But I've been missing, what's going on? What I've been missing?
Oh, man. Well, you missed, I don't know. We've been talking a good bit about a number of things. You missed yesterday. I mean, you probably would have definitely had something to comment on. I'm not going to go back down the rabbit hole, but
we reacted to
Ryan Grubb's answer about the offense being different. And obviously all the people on the internet, you know, they coming out indicating, he's saying this, that, and I had to clear that up. But anyway, other than that, now we've been diving into it, been talking about how everybody's starting to kind of jump on the Alabama bandwagon. People are finally kind of, I don't know, coming around.
I don't miss that part about it, but I do miss hearing people that have played football before give good critiques about stuff. So, yeah, I don't miss that.
Well, we talked a little bit about Florida State yesterday, kind of going in on kind of what we expect.
You know, my cousin plays for Florida State. Remember I told you guys that?
What position?
He plays corner. I think cornerback or safety. Ricky Knight, that's his name. He plays cornerback or safety. He's from the West Palm Beach area.
Tell him don't let Ryan Williams embarrass you and y'all's family.
Hopefully he's not in the game, so you have to worry about that.
tell him just don't line up on Ryan.
They're not gonna like my reaction.
Come on, man. You gotta ride for family though.
Oh, no. Not, I told you what's going to happen. When it comes to Florida State and Alabama, I'm wearing Alabama gear. Any other game, I can help them out. But, other than that, I got to go with Alabama, man.
Damn. That's messed up, man.
I'm excited for the season. I'm worried about the running game, though. Now that I'm hearing what you're talking about and what Jam, a little bit worried.
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say worried. I mean, look, I think here's the thing. I mean, Look, it's just a fact, and I'm glad he was honest, because, I mean, a lot of people were kind of sleeping on Jam. I'm talking about even, like, our own fans. People kind of just like, oh, I mean, Jam's all right. Everybody was talking about everybody else. But the fact is, man, it's not just because Jam's older. I mean, he just was a true three-down back, man. Dude could pass, protect, could run the football, catch out of the backfield. He did everything and did it at a high level. And when you're looking at these other guys that they've got right now, it's just like they're just not quite at the same level as he was. Now, I think the good thing is, I mean, I trust that at least one of them will kind of step up and fill that void. And if not, I really think initially it'll probably be like a by committee type thing. I mean, Daniel Hill is a really solid running back. I mean, I think he's going to get a lot of opportunities. I mean, Richard Young looked pretty good last year when he got opportunities in Dre Washington.
What about the guy from UL Lafayette that everyone was going crazy about that your callers were calling something?
Dre Washington?
Yeah,
he's had a really nice camp, and they've been complimenting him as well. I just don't think any of those guys are quite at that level of Jam, and I think they're really just wanting at least one of them. They want somebody to step up. I mean, especially in a moment like this, coaches always, like, when there's an opportunity out there and they don't feel like one guy is just really kind of like separating himself and stepping up, they're going to challenge you, right? Like, I remember happened with us. I can't remember what year we had some injuries. You know, same thing. You know, Coach Saban was the same exact way, man. Like, he's like, somebody's got to step up, man. Like, it's y'all's opportunity. Everybody wants to, you know, moan and groan about playing time. Here you have this opportunity. Take advantage of it, right? And so they got a week or so. And I think those guys will, you know, have some good practices. And you'll know more. Honestly, I mean, week one will tell you a little bit more. I mean, I think they'll go by, you know, by committee approach. And somebody's going to have a hot hand. Somebody's probably going to, you know, separate themselves a little bit in week one. And I think that's probably who will, you know, move forward, get him, you know, the bulk of the carries until Jam's back, which could be sooner than later. But I mean, it is a thing to think about, though. I mean, the running game is going to be important for us.
I was about to say, you got the coach who literally just got fired from Seattle, and that was a big thing that Seattle Seahawks fans were mad about was the running game, right? Mm-hmm. And then last year, I didn't think that we utilized our running backs as well as we could have in this scheme and this system. So now my question to you is, like, what is that? If you're coaching Todd Simpson, that's the quarterback, what's the pass attempt max that you would want for him per game? Like, what's that sweet spot for you per game?
You're saying, like, the number of attempts?
Yeah.
I mean, it just varies, man. I mean, especially given the game plan, who you're playing, what they like to do defensively. But if I had to just – I don't know. I mean, I definitely think it's going to be higher. I know last year we talked about it. I mean, I thought Milroe in, you know, like the low 20 range was kind of his number, right? I mean, I think if you looked at it, that was kind of what made sense because you knew he was going to have to take some carries, right? That was their game plan, which made sense. With Ty, it's definitely going to be more than that, 100%. But I'm probably 30 range at least. I mean, look, they wanted those.
Yeah, I wouldn't want it that high.
You're saying throughout the year, or you're talking about week one?
I'm saying throughout the year. I think that 28 is the max that I want per game. I'm thinking the sweet spot would be probably like 25, 27-ish. Once you get up to that 30 range and stuff like that, that's fearful for me.
I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I'm just saying in terms of the offense, right, that they want to run.
No, for sure.
I think around 30 is kind of what you could expect. I'm not saying that's my thing, but I'm going to tell you why I said 30. And I'm not comparing Ty to Penix, but this was the last quarterback that they worked with at Washington.
Right.
Week one, he had 40 attempts, 38, 35, 25, 40, 37, 42, 37, 30, 42, 28. I don't know what the average is on that. I could probably actually, hold on, I could calculate real quick. But what I'm getting at is it's definitely probably going to be mid-30s. Yeah. That's why, to me, I said with Ty, I think around 30 is fine because they want him to be able to throw the football. And you got to think, that also includes some of those quick little rhythm throws, just, you know, dumping it off, picking up yardage.
Oh, for sure.
That's going to add up,
key,
you know.
Better low-key run plays, but yeah, for sure.
So Penix averaged 37 attempts per game in 2023. So I think if Ty's sitting at 30, I think that's fine. I think that shows great balance. I mean, I don't know what Milroe's was. Try to look it up, but yeah, I think Ty around 30 is fine.
Pac-12 was kind of known for like tossing the ball around. We're not really known for that in the SEC. Like, you got to, you know, in trenches, you got to be able to run the ball and stop the run. That's why I'm saying, like, I get nervous. Nothing about the quarterback or anything. It's just any team. Like, I wouldn't care if you had Peyton Manning back there. I get nervous in the SEC play when you're up around the 30, 40 pass attempt range. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you. But, I mean, look at, you know, Nussmeier, LSU. I mean, I could probably pull his up. I mean, his is probably up there. And, you know, obviously, you know, he had some turnovers, but still, I mean, I think it just, you just, number one, you gotta run the offense the way you want to run it, right? And if that involves throwing the ball a little bit more, if that's what you guys do, I mean, it is what it is. And I think Ty is more than capable of doing that. Now, again, I don't want to sound like I'm not all of a sudden, you know, big on the running game. The running game needs to be there 100%, but I just know with this offense, man, they do want to throw that. And Ryan Grubb indicated, I don't know if you heard that, and that's where this comments came from. He literally said, I mean, in this offense, it's better to have a quarterback who's, you know, more of a thrower, right? And that's true. So they're going to look to do that. Jalen averaged 24.5. So I think, you know, Ty's in between, you know, Milroe at 24.5, Penix at 37. I think that's about average. And I think you did. Look, and Penix averaging 37 attempts a game. That still had them as they had a 1,000-yard rusher with that number. So if Ty's at 30, yeah, that you can run the ball plenty with that.
Yes, different level of play. That's the only thing that would be my only pushback with that, is different level of play. With them playing in the Pac-12, you can kind of do – you can do a lot, man. They'll be playing on defense out there, so.
Well, the good news is I just saw this, by the way, that – Kalen DeBoer does expect Jam to be back by Georgia. So at least you got that out there. Some positive news.
Game, actually. I really might go to that game now that I'm thinking about it. But yeah, listen, I'm definitely excited for the season, man. Ready for some football, actual football.
You feel pretty confident? You feel confident right now? I mean, because I look, QD has converted himself into a chapstick at this point. I mean, QD is.
Wait,
every
no
day.
Way. QD's a chapstick. I've been gone for a while.
Oh, no. Listen, you've been gone so long that QD is at the point where QD legit is, yeah, he's
on chapstick. Where Corey at? That's crazy.
He was on here literally like for the first 20 minutes, and then I think he was having some tech stuff, and he was on a phone call, I had to hop on. But, yeah, man, QD's over here saying like every day in the chat, like, what do you say? 11-1. What else he say? And he's like like 8 exclamation points.
QD's changed completely. He's a dick. Y'all should not. That's not AI.
Yeah, it could be, man. I know he works in tech, so it definitely could be, man.
One of his robots done got him and took over because there's no way he's staying there.
Hey, yeah,
but
I don't know
excited,
what.
Man,
it should be good, man. I'm not going to. I'm looking forward to it. No, I won't be. I won't be down there for it. But no, I'm definitely looking forward to it. I'm not gonna lie to you, man. I think this year should be a good year, and I'm not gonna lie. I got a lot of confidence. I hope they can back me up because I've definitely I've been throwing it out there, man. I think this team is set to do some good things in year number two. Now they got to go out there and execute. They got to go out there and make it happen. But I feel like the pieces are there. I feel like what I've seen, you know, through camp. I mean, they're making some really good strides. I think it's lining up nice, KJ. I'm not going to lie, but I just get nervous doing this, man, because think about last year. Like, I feel like we would – it was like we would take a step – like, two – what was it? Like, a step forward and two steps backwards, right? Like,
oh, we're on the top of the world when we beat Georgia. You can tell us nothing. We're going to win a championship.
I know. And then you're like, bro.
We're going to win a championship. You can tell us nothing. And then we – be beat by Vanderbilt. It's like, wait, what?
Trust me. Hey, man.
But look, let me go back. You know what wouldn't be KJ if I wouldn't go back to this? You said you wasn't coming to Tallahassee. You ever took a visit to FSU?
Yeah, I did, actually. That was one of the first unofficial visits I took. The food was great. They had some like honey chicken tenders or something at this place.
Just the food. That is what you enjoyed?
Dude, I was on an unofficial visit with my dad, man. Yes, that was what I enjoyed, was the food, bro. If you're asking, I did not go out or do anything like that, no.
You missed it. That's one of the best college towns. They got Damn, you right there next to it. You got so many beautiful black women. Like, what? Tallahassee is top tier. Top tier college town.
Yep, KJ, you have not changed one bit, man. I knew it was coming at some
Absolutely
point.
Absolutely not.
Chase even said, I knew it was coming, man. It was inevitable. I'm like, he can't make it through this one phone call without mentioning women, bro. I was just waiting on it.
Hey, I'm just saying, Tallahassee is the spot to be at. I'm going to have a great time. Great time.
I'm sure you will, man. Well, have fun. Support your cousin a little bit, man. Don't be that guy. Show him love, especially
if he's giving you... The team need to come in literally like on game day. They don't need to come in a night before, because you know they be getting in trouble anyway. They be trying to sneak people in still. Like, nah. Just come
nah,
in
that ain't happening, bro. These guys got their head on straight. That ain't happening.
Sure. Okay. Okay.
Ain't happening, KJ. But hey, we're good hearing from you, though, man. I wish my dad was still on here. I wish he didn't have his tech problems, man. But we'll get y'all connected again, man. I need to hear y'all go back and forth.
For sure, for sure. For sure, y'all. Y'all take care.
Yes, sir. You too, bro. Good deal. All right. That was our buddy, KJ. Good to hear from his Benjamin. Quick timeout. And come back. Keep on rolling. Tide 100.9, 1230.
At 989-4040 or go to selectquote.com to get your free quote today. That's 1-800-989-4040. Details on example rate at selectquote.com.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact...
Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
365, 24/7. You'll find road and utility crews, tow trucks, law enforcement, and first responders working along Alabama's roadway.
We're making improvements and helping our communities stay connected.
We're working hard to make sure you're safe on the road. Now we need your help to make sure we're safe too.
Alabama's move over law requires you to move over a lane when you see flashing lights on the roadside. And if you can't safely move over, please slow down.
Visit drivesafealabama.org, brought to you by the Alabama Department of Transportation, Alabama Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partially sunny this afternoon. The chance of a shower or storm in a few spots through the evening hours. The high today 88, the low tonight 71. Tomorrow a mix of sun and clouds with scattered showers and thunderstorms by afternoon. The high 87. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 88 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Back live, so I guess we're having some tech problems, and there's no intro music or return music. All right, sorry about that. I don't know, kind of a wonky day. All right, that being said, I got this pulled up on the screen. I didn't know if you guys saw this, but allegedly Diego Pavia is making north of $2 million this season. So I guess this is a lesson for any quarterbacks out there that are at some smaller schools that might have Alabama on the schedule. Beat Alabama and you're getting a payday. Really nice one at that. I'm being completely honest with you. He's making more than probably a lot of top quarterbacks in college football, man. So kind of crazy to think about. Now, I didn't read it. I guess there's more to this. Maybe we could just click on this. I was about to say, I don't have a on three thing. All right, yeah, so we can't see it. Anyway, but yeah, Diego Pavia got paid. Probably should send Alabama a very nice gift to thank them for that big payday. All right, that being said, we got the passer Payne back on here. Unfortunately, man, you just missed KJ. Oh, God. He's got his Popeye thing in his mouth again. But you missed KJ, man. He was asking about you. He wanted to talk to you, but I'm sure he'll circle back with us next week or sometime. But I don't even know if we got you like that. I think your connection's a little funny.
Me?
Yeah, there it goes. You might have been leaving from somewhere. I don't know.
No, I was leaving from the house.
Yeah, so Wi-Fi was disconnected. But anyway, KJ was asking about you, and Tommy said to say what's up.
What up, KJizzle? I thought you was down there in Beaufort, Georgia, babysitting Mrs. Doubtfire. What was that show called, The Man of Babysitting? Mrs. Doubtfire?
Might have been before my time, man. Might have been before my time. All right, let's keep rolling because I know we got some callers lined up. 205-342-9904. We got We got Smitty up next. Smitty, welcome in.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. How's it going?
It's good,
what up,
man.
Smitty?
Hey, first things first, Pastor Payne, be proud of you. My nephew just sent me scriptures. I actually read my Bible. I've been reading it. Hope you're proud of me now.
Bro, bless God. Keep on it, dog. Keep on it.
Hey, but one thing is about this 9-game schedule, I think the thing people miss is we're actually going to see teams play each other more often. And I think that look how long it's been since Alabama played Florida at home. And I think, but the things I think people got to understand also, you have to consider stress the schedule. Because Alabama started next year going to play two Power Four teams out of conference on top of their conference schedule. So if they go 9-3, they should be in because of the difficulty in the schedule. And if they want them to keep playing these games, you got to start rewarding teams for playing a bunch of nobodies because they have a good record. And I think that's the thing they got to think about.
Yeah, I agree. And that's why I think when they announced, the committee at least, some updates to their, I guess, their whole process. That was one of the things that they said they're going to actually start honoring, strength of schedule and put a little bit more weight into, wins over ranked opponents, better teams, and then take away some of that significance, whatever you want to call it, and not penalize teams as much for losing said games against different competition. So I think it's been a long time coming, though. The SEC was, trending this way. I know they wanted some, securities on the other end that they wouldn't be penalized so much because we all know, whether people want to admit it or not, the teams in this conference are better than any other conference. And, I think it's going to work out well, though, with the 9-game schedule. But look, one less cupcake game. My dad hates cupcake games. So now you got a better game lined up. And I think it's better for the fans, more competition. I think it's a win overall. I mean, I know the coaches were a little hesitant a little bit, rightfully so, but I think it's fair. It's a good trade-off.
I don't know why they would be upset because it's only going to strengthen the SEC's opportunity when it comes to, that top 16. Right, for the playoffs, because now your strength of schedule is going to be much better. You take a Mercer off, you take a Citadel off, you take Louisiana Lafayette off your schedule, and then you input a Mississippi State, or you put a South Carolina, these types of schools that are going to be better programs that people are going to respect more. Your fans are going to love it more because they get an extra real ball game. And so I've been waiting for them to do this. I don't know what took them so long. And I know coaches like sometimes, or even presidents like to, ADs get that give me game, but it hurts you down the stretch, right? And so if you got a victory over Mississippi State or, even Vanderbilt, who played well last year. I mean, if Alabama would have beat them, they would have been in the playoffs for sure. I mean, so you're going to get more street cred by having nine conference games. And I liked it because we saw a little bit of that. Remember during COVID? We saw that, right? On all SEC schedule and how good that was. And that was just a little bit of a glimpse of what it's going to look like. So, yeah, you know, you still can do nine. Then you're going to get an Ohio State if you're Bama. You'll get a Florida State. You're going to get that out-of-conference game that's still good. So now you got 10 really good, strong games. And then, you know, then you get a cupcake there in the end somewhere. But that's cool. But 10, I'd rather have 10 than 7 or 8.
Yeah, but I think that to answer your question, the reason the coaches were a little hesitant is because if you think about it, that's the positive piece of it, that yes, it does add more strength to your schedule. However, the potential backfire in that situation would be you now have, instead of a guaranteed win to add to your record, because remember, they were looking at records as well, you then have to risk, all right, well, we do add an extra SEC game. That could be a team like Texas A&M, right, who's a good football team. That could be a Florida football team, right, if you're Alabama. Adding that Florida game, I mean, that's another week where instead of you're going into that week saying, all right, you know, we got a, you know, smaller opponent, it is what it is, you're going in and you're playing Florida, whether, you know, they're a 5-win team or an 8-win team, you know they've got guys and it's going to be a tough physical matchup. And if these, if you're a coach, I think they're looking at it like, why would we go in there risking that game, right, knowing that if we do lose that game, we're going to, there's more of a chance we're penalized with this game than if we go and beat a 5 or 6-win team, Florida, who's not even that impressive, but we know it's still going to be a tough game. It doesn't do much for us. That's where the, yeah. I guess the, you know, the hesitancy was coming from. But I think now that they have securities from the commission, at least alleged securities, that they're changing the way they address their selection process, I think it all is going to work out. Go ahead, Smitty. I'm sorry.
I will say this to those coaches. Alabama lost to Vanderbilt last year. I'd rather would have lost to Florida or Texas A&M than Vanderbilt, I'm going to be honest with you. We're going to keep it real. Because you still have to play teams every week. Look at the NFL. We got teams that are terrible, but they can rise up and beat the Kansas City Chiefs or the Bengals or like the Ravens. You know, the Jacksonville Jaguars can beat the Ravens on a given week. And I think that people got to look at the business aspect of it. First, these kids ain't playing these meaningless bowl games anyway. And we've seen coaches get fired at the bowl games anyway. They don't hold the same weight they did 20 years ago. I just think that now times have changed. If you want money to come in to pay these players, you're going to have to play more matchups. If you want fans coming to the stadium, you're going to need better matchups than having 3 cupcakes on your schedule because people aren't paying for that. And I just think that you got to have those assurances like they did. So you won't penalize us. And I'll say this one last thing, take my call. If you can't make the 16 team, I'm not going to cry for you anyway. And that includes Alabama. I'm just being honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. 16 teams, man. I mean, we should be straight. If not, that's a concern. I'm with you.
Hey, yep. But you guys 100%. Have a good weekend. You guys have a good weekend. Thanks for taking my call, gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
All right, Smitty. Be blessed, man. Keep reading that word, brother. Keep reading that word now.
I got you, sir. You have a good one.
Yes, sir.
All right.
So this might be dumb, but it maybe I'm not remembering this correctly. Did they officially move to the 16 game or still kind of – I think they're still kind of figuring it out, right?
We had what we had last year.
I'm saying 12. It is 12 right now, but I don't think it's official. Last time,
but it's going to go to 16. Though I'm just, I probably misspoke. But.
Well, no, I'm just saying. I couldn't remember if they finalized. I don't think they did. I think they're gaining momentum towards the 16 team model. But I think there's a lot of back and forth right now because some people are leaning towards the bracket with like the automatic bids from like 4 SEC, 4 Big Ten, 2 ACC, 2 Big 12, mm-hmm. 1. Group of 6-3 at large, and then others want it just to be just a top team. So I think they're still trying to figure out. Yeah, thank you, Justin. It's still at 12, but I think they're trying to figure out like the dynamic. But we all know it's going to go to 16 because the more games played, more teams in there, the more revenue, the more money it's going to bring in. So we know how that goes. Let's hit one more quick timeout real quick before we go back to the phone lines because we're loaded and want to make sure we get everybody in here. We got Morgan from Dothan. who I believe is a new caller. I want to make sure we get Morgan on here. We got Digger. Haven't heard from him in a minute. So we'll do that after this free time out right here on the Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC.
Or you can shop online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. At Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, you pick it out and we'll work it out. Roll Tide!
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the...
Ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Friday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Let's keep on rolling. We got Morgan from Dothan up next on the phone lines. Morgan, welcome in. Morgan, you with us? Going once, twice. Dang, I was hoping we'd get to hear from a new caller. Morgan, if you want to circle back, man, you already know the drill. All right. Yeah, no worries, Chase. I get it. They probably feel like they're waiting a long time, but I like giving everybody enough time to talk, man, get their points across. Let's keep on rolling. I think we got Digger up next. Digger, you with us?
Yeah, Morgan gets a 3-minute limit for that.
What about you, Digger? I mean, what's your limit, Digger? What's your limit? I got the stopwatch.
My limit is unlimited simply because I've got something to talk about.
Okay, let's ride.
Are you ready for this? I'm telling you, you better wrap your head around this because it is.
Let me get a swig of this lemonade.
Go ahead, get that plug.
Let me get us a little toke on this pipe.
We
right need here.
A little lemon.
All right, let's go. Bring it. Let's go, baby. Let's go.
First of all, let me go ahead and commend the SEC for putting on their big boy pants and going up to 9 games, advocating for that for a couple of years now. Now everything is even Steven on the square, and we can all go, and you can get your 4 games guaranteed in the playoffs. If you go to 16, I'd say go to 5, guaranteed if you have to. But are you ready for this?
Yes.
I'm really kind of concerned about it. Okay, so you heard where Archie Manning said, hey, he's staying another year, da-da-da-da-da, and going to, he's got to have 30 games under his belt before he goes in the NFL.
And then I heard him say that.
There was some pushback from Little Arch. Said, Grandpa, I love you, but keep on the down low here. Are you ready for this? They said, this is conspiracy thinking here. Christian, are you with me so far here? Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, no, I'm with you now. I didn't realize you meant the older Arch.
Of the 9 games in the SEC, and they're looking at that schedule, they're going to have to do a little wiggling around and get the 9th one in there. And ESPN's going to have to pay extra for that extra 9th game, which I'm all for. Somebody spotted them retrofitting, reverting, scheming, reverse engineering the schedule this past year to look at the key players that they were going to do NIL deals to stay another year. ESPN doing an NIL with players to stay another year.
No way.
Wow.
Are you understanding this?
Is that gonna pay
first round money?
Is that legit? Is that legit or
They said it has not been formally submitted. Listen to me. I repeat, it has not been formally submitted. However, it was floating around.
Wow.
Yeah. But I can see them doing that because bowl games, you know, ESPN has all these bowl games and all these sponsors. So I can see them saying, hey, we'll give you an NIL deal just to stay and an insurance policy so in case you get hurt, you know, that can negate if there's some kind of difference in your potential said draft thought status. And if you get hurt and you end up going fourth, fifth, sixth round, then they make up. I can see them doing stuff like that just to continue to keep eyes on all of these bowl games.
This is what came up. If Hart stays another year, they will go ahead and promote the Ole Miss game, Tennessee game, and Louisiana State game. All have peak high interest on Arch playing those teams, and they will showcase those games. They're saying they'll get their money back doing that for the NIL.
I mean, can we at least see him play a whole season as a starter?
I want to say, man, how are you going to do this for a guy that even started two games?
That's what I'm saying. Okay, but, you know, what's out there is that he may go after this year. If he has a good year, he will leave and go and let the Saints draft him or whoever wants him. That they're saying he's going to go first round, first, maybe not the first overall pick, but first round if he declares. Can you imagine? Think about this. Think about your own quarterback who's a fourth-year junior, right? He goes to win the Heisman in the national championship against Clemson. And the ESPN is going to come back and say, you stay another year, we'll showcase the game with you and Clemson. Keep in mind now, this is the SEC having to retrofit another game in there. Clemson's already played LSU and a couple other teams along the way. I'm just saying. Okay?
Digger.
Wow.
Digger.
You're
reaching now. This is all hypothetical. It's all hypothetical mess. I mean, what I want to call him, Eli Manning. Arch Manning hasn't done diddly squat yet. Right?
Lenore Sellers, if he wins the Heisman and Clemson wins the national championship, you don't think ESPN would plot a game for that in return for NIL? Would Lenore Sellers pay another year for NIL money to play Clemson?
No.
Defending national championship?
Because if he wins the Heisman Trophy, he's going to get $40, $50 million versus some diddly squat NIL deal. No way.
Dude.
Then he's going to risk getting hurt. I mean, if he wins a Heisman Trophy and he's playing that good of football, he ain't worried about no NIL deal. He's going to get NFL money because that's what they're chasing. That bag more than the NIL deal bag.
Keep in mind, NFL is out of this now. They're out of the cable business. ESPN owns them. NFL's got 10%. I'm telling you, the money's there. You will see money get up to $20 million a year for a Heisman Trophy winner to stay another year. Are you up for
I
that?
I can't see that.
Would you pay $20
No. I can't see that happening.
That's lifetime money. That's generational funding.
I get that, but I don't think they're going to give if they make that kind of investment, do you think a Texas versus Tennessee game is going to bring that kind of, return?
That's a Manning thing. That's a Manning thing. Peyton and Eli, Ole Miss, Eli, LSU because he's from Louisiana. That's a money. That's a personal thing on a level where I can see an NIL deal be presented in front of him to stay another year so he can play these schools. That's three games now, not one for Lenore Seltz. That's three games, and he's getting $15 million. ESPN saying they're going to get their money back in those three games. Stunning. Stunning.
This is if and buts. We're playing if and buts, right? This is a game right now, if and buts.
Yep.
That ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. That sounds good. I hear what you're saying. I hear the potential if these things would happen, but it's not. I mean, I just don't see them doing that. I just can't see them doing that. I really can't.
Well, you have the committee that does have to approve NIL deals over $600. So that is something to consider, too.
$600 deal in NIL for the committee to look at something $15 million? It is a bloody, we're here to help your game out.
Well, that's what I'm explaining to you. You can't just throw out a deal that it has to be justified. So, I mean, that I don't know. It'd have to be approved, too. I mean, that's something interesting you're saying, Digger. I just don't know.
Now, keep in mind, that is a market play, too. Committee would have to approve that. We're talking nationwide. Yes. Okay, I'm off the hook here. I got to go. I've got stuff to do. Bye.
Is he a lawyer?
I thought he was. Is that right, Digger? He's gone. I thought he was, but then I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not too sure. I mean, I just don't see that being.
That's if and buts. If and buts, candy and nuts. Everybody would have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas.
where did you say that all the time? Where did you get that from?
It's out there floating somewhere. You never heard that?
No, well, from you. I hear you say it a lot. I just didn't know where you got that from.
If and buts was candy and nuts, everyone would have a Merry Christmas.
Hey, let me ask you this real quick. In terms of what we've got with the new, obviously they're going to go to the official three permanent opponents, which I couldn't remember if I thought we might have had that anyway. But who would you want for South Carolina? I'm curious because obviously when you look at Alabama. Let me make this bigger so everybody can see.
I already know.
I feel like Auburn, Tennessee is a lock. Then I agree with this from Ross Dellinger. I would go LSU. I know some people in our chat put Georgia. They would want Georgia for a permanent opponent for us. But South Carolina, who would you want for y'all's permanent opponents?
No, we got Georgia. We've always played Georgia, even when I was in college.
This doesn't happen, Georgia though.
That's a border war, as they call it. I would go Georgia, Florida. And my third one would be in the West.
Maybe Auburn?
No, we have nothing there with Auburn.
Y'all do have some good matchups with Auburn, I feel like.
We beat Auburn. They're trash. let's see.
Well,
Georgia and Florida for sure, but the other one probably would be, I like the Texas A&M, but Tennessee is always good too. That Tennessee game will be the third one because they normally play in October and they're Halloween. It's always just a really good matchup. So I like those three. I like the Eastern when we had divisions. Those are always the biggest games for us. Georgia, Florida, Tennessee. I would keep it right there.
That's fair. Yeah, I think this is just wrong.
And they got Florida and Tennessee, but they got Auburn. I don't know why they would put Georgia right there. That's stupid. I mean, it's 2 hours away. Right? Well, 2 hours away.
This is Ross Dellinger's list, so it's not official. He makes it clear that this is his guess only, not an official list. But they did say it would the considerations include geography, rivalries, and balance. But I think Georgia's got to be on South Carolina's for their permanent. I mean, I feel like Georgia and South Carolina.
Yeah, Georgia, Florida for sure. Florida's 3.5 hours, 4 hours. Georgia's 2 hours, 2.5 hours. Tennessee, 3.5 hours. I mean, that's great. I mean, in that whole radius right there from states, a lot of great football.
Well, I'm just confused because I agree with Dwight. I thought we already got down to like the whole permanent three opponents. Because I remember when we got, like Dwight said, when we got rid of East and West, I thought we already selected that.
Yeah, but we have Texas A&M. The other team that used to be our was Arkansas. So Arkansas and Texas A&M flipped for South Carolina.
Well, maybe, I don't know, maybe they're giving teams a fresh shot to reassess their three. I'm just saying, like Dwight said, I thought like 2 years ago or whenever it was when we went to the, you know, independent stuff, right? I thought we already came up with this, but I don't know. I guess it's circling back. I know we got, I think Ellis on the phone line, so I want to squeeze him in here real quick. Ellis, you with us?
Yes, sir.
What's up, Ellis?
Hey, Ellis. What's up, Ellis? Roll Tide.
What's up with that person that was just on the phone?
Who's that, Digger?
Yeah, Lord have mercy.
Man, I don't know. I think Digger just got a lot of ideas. He's rambling off. I haven't heard of that, what he was talking about.
Real quick, Ellis, how'd you do in your drills? How'd you do that in those drills?
I didn't get to do it. They didn't have no drills.
It wasn't what I think he was expecting. I think their drills was like, they had like, you know, station where you could like throw the football around with guys. I was hoping it was what we were thinking, because I would have loved to see that, but unfortunately it wasn't like that. So it wasn't Ellis. It wasn't on Ellis. He was ready to do it.
Yeah, I told you I seen them cones on the side there. I thought about putting them out there and doing it.
That's funny. That is funny. We'll set it. Don't worry, Ellis. We'll set it up one day, even if we got to do it in the middle of the strip, outside of 1225.
Listen, man, you got to shoot the cover. They blow us knee, ankle. It's going to be one like this guy, Wendell Davis, Gator Bowl. That might have been that was at Philadelphia. He blew both his knees out at one time. One play, two knees. And I think if Ellis go out there and try to run around some cones, he gonna be both knees, ankle, hamstring.
Be laying there on the ground rolling.
Yeah. You really will be rolling, Dr. Roll.
Wow.
You're talking about the three permanent teams?
Yeah.
I think it ought to be kick Tennessee to the curb.
Really?
No way.
Take them to the train station.
So who'd you replace Tennessee with? Georgia? So you have Georgia, Auburn, and who else?
LSU.
I wouldn't be mad at that either, to be honest with you.
No, you can't get rid of the third Saturday in October, man. That's, I'll be honest with you. I think that's about is up there with the
you'd rather have Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, Tennessee, than Georgia, Alabama.
Because of the
prime
history,
time.
Because of the
Kirby
history.
Kirby Smart. Massive championship.
Listen. Listen. The history of the matchup, man. What I learned about that matchup being here was Jeremy Pruitt cried giving us a pregame because he's like from like that state line or something, and he was talking like that game means a lot to the people of the state of Alabama. I didn't realize that until I got here, but every week we played them, Coach Saban talked about it. I mean, like the Tennessee rivalry, I don't think people realize it. It's up there with the Iron Bowl, man, like in terms of history and significance, believe it or not. So I feel like you just couldn't do it.
That's who I fish. If you're hearing noise right now, I'm cleaning a real nice crimson colored GT Mustang convertible.
Dang, what year is it all
clean? It's a new one. That's a 5.0 in.
Nice.
I'm gonna bring my pimp my ride out down and let you put some wax on that thing, shine Amaral.
Oh God!
Yeah, I'm gonna bring my pimp my ride down there.
I'll bring the stuff to Tuscaloosa.
There you go.
Bring it down there. We're gonna do a video of Ellis pimping out my ride, the Escalade. I'm gonna bring my Escalade with some 24s on it.
Yeah.
And they don't like no preacher ride. Like, you don't like no preacher riding on 24s, though, Ellis. Hallelujah.
Ellis, we appreciate you, man. You have a great weekend.
All right, roll time.
Good deal. Appreciate everybody. Y'all have a great weekend, man. Looking forward to doing it Monday, man. Officially, week one prep.
I'm gonna be ready to go. I'm gonna get my 2 days a week in full time. It's probably gonna be Monday and Fridays.
Good deal. Well, there you go. We'll look forward to it Monday right here. Time 100.9, 1230. WTBC.